Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our sermon text for today is the Gospel lesson appointed for the seventh Sunday in the season of Pentecost. I read to you from the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, verses 24 through 30, and then verses 36 through 43. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who has sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Thus far the text, I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, there are many things that we can learn from this text, but especially we can learn your patience for us as your children. Grant us ears to hear as well, Lord God, and especially faith to understand. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, friends, while there are those among us who disrupt our lives, we can rest assured that our Lord is watching over us and will gather us to himself on the last day. Now, by those who disrupt, I mean Satan, his tricks and traps, and those upon whom he's already worked his wiles. Satan's been a disruption to life from the beginning of time, contrary to God's good intent. God's good intent was to create this entire universe and everything in it. And upon creating its crowning glory, man, both male and female, made in God's image, God declared it all very good. Everything was pleasing in his sight, especially us. Satan slithered into that perfect picture with his twisted lies and his evil temptation, and we fell into sin. Soon after the fall, there was murder, and the world under Satan's control fell deeper and deeper into sinfulness. God then baptized the world in the great flood, but even then the prince of lies and death remained unabated. God chose his servant Abraham to be the father of a nation which would be his holy priesthood and minister to the world. There Satan raised up false gods for Israel to follow. God sent his one and only Son to us in the incarnation. Satan stirred up the Pharisees and the Sadducees and even all of Jerusalem to cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Whatever God did for the sake of the children he loved, Satan worked to destroy. But then the resurrection. Satan, who thought he was in control of all things and who thought he'd finally snatch victory out of God's hand, fell into defeat yet again. On that first Easter morning, he couldn't prevent Jesus from rising victorious over evil and death to bring life immortal to all those who believe in Christ's name. The church became God's new priesthood, the one called in the name of his salvation to minister to the world, addressing all its sins and proclaiming Christ as the only way to the kingdom of God, who is the Heavenly Father, he and no other. So here we are, Christ's holy church. Would it be that Satan would be in our rear view mirror? But he's not. He's sitting beside us, behind us, above us, below us, and even within us, working to erode everything we believe so that we'll fall away from God's given gift of faith and die. He's still sowing all sorts of weeds in and amongst us as believers. False doctrine, that's one of the tares. That weed can sprout up out of the mouth of an unbelieving friend who says surely there are other beliefs equally valid, or they could grow from the dead heart of someone who professes it doesn't matter what kind of God you believe in, as long as you believe in something, you'll get into heaven. What a lie. It can come from a fellow parishioner who doesn't know anything about Scripture, but instead loves to profess his or her own opinion about biblical matters, saying, "That pastor's a good talker, but he's wrong when he says things like abortion and euthanasia are lies or sins." But it can also be rooted deep in our own greed or lust or anger or loose and slanderous tongues which malign the person sitting across the church from where we sit in our pew. Those weeds can sprout out of our own hearts. They can make an appearance in God's holy house, even when we sit there for an hour. We go out for a week, right? And there we return to our old sinful selves. It behooves us all as Christians to pull up these tares, as they're not a part of the confession of our church. We're obligated to speak the truth in love to our brothers and sisters in Christ, using God's words to admonish one another, to teach one another, to help one another. Amongst Christians, we're not to allow the sons of wickedness to remain undisturbed in the church. We're instead to notify them of the wayward thinking, to exhort them to change, to encourage them to repent, and to point them to the forgiveness that awaits them in Christ. More importantly, though, it's our obligation to encourage the faint-hearted that their smoldering wicks of faith won't ever get blown out, but instead built up, that they, too, can stand firm in Christ. As to those outside the church, the weeds out there are thick, just as God said, but they are still to live. It's not our job to render judgment and kill. That will come on the last day as the tares are gathered in. In the meantime, we're to love our enemy and pray for those who persecute us, knowing that God still loves those who even persecute the church, just as he loves us. The wheat will never change the tares. But God, who is faithful, will still minister in their midst through his church, that they may know the truth and bend their knees to him, seeking his mercy before he levels judgment upon them on the last day. After all, that's how we became wheat. We were moved from unbelief to belief through the witness of the church by the grace of God. Remember, the harvest is coming, and we will be drawn to his side in that great harvest on that last day. To that end, Jesus will continue to nurture each one of us. He will cause us to remember that we are children of God, brought into his family through our baptisms. He'll continue to nurture us with his word, setting it before us to hear and to read and to study. He'll also support that word that we have in our hearts. He'll send us his Holy Spirit to help us to understand what we receive and to believe it, to trust it in faith. From that light of life, our light of life will be guided around Satan's deceptions and given discernment to differentiate between sinfulness and righteousness. Satan might have his goal at us. He might plant his weeds around us, but the one who is watching over us, who rose victorious over death to become our Savior, has ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, and he will never fail us. God promised, "I will bring them out from the peoples, and gather them from the countries, and bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the streams, and in all the inhabited places of the land." That's our key verse for this week, the one, a verse which I'd suggest you keep close to your heart. It's Ezekiel 34, 13. As always, you'll find that verse printed in your worship folders or on our website on the interactive worship page that's associated with today's sermon. God bless you all, and may He cause you to remember that while there are those among us who disrupt our lives, we can rest assured that our Lord is watching over us and will gather us into Himself on the last day. In Jesus' name, amen. Please bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord God, You remember us. You remember us as the wheat in the field that is ripe, and You are going to gather us in. We pray for those who don't yet know You that they might also be included in that harvest. Help us as a church to minister to them and guide them and lead them to Your holy love. Lord God, be with us and especially go before us that Your word is proclaimed on the last day. We look forward to that day where You gather us in, because then all sin, all evil will be gone once and for all, burned up as the chaff in the harvest. We just thank You for that, Lord God, and we look forward to that day. Watch over us this week as we again have not been able to gather, but especially bring our hearts together to worship You and to praise Your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And amen.